of the fathers. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And some are going to say, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But basically saying, when God gives you something, the gift, it's irrevocable and can never be taken away. Right? It can't be taken away. Once God says something, He means it. All right? So now, if you could, let's go to John 6:39. John 6:39. And we're gonna be in John for a little bit, but I just want to make sure that I'm got these in order. All right, John 6:39 says, "I'm sorry. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day." Okay, so. Again, because like I said, I like to reread so people will get a clear understanding. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing. So, it doesn't say lose a couple things, lose everything, or one or three. It says lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. Now, let's go to John. Let's see, 17:12. Hold on 1 second. Let's see. Yeah, I really need to get some. Oh, there we go. Seeing better. All right, so let's go to John 17:12. John 17:12. And this is just another verse backing it up. John, the Gospel of John 17:12, sorry. I'm going to start up in 10. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorifying them. This is Jesus speaking. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So he's conveying again. He's conveying again who he saved, he keeps. Nothing can happen. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, how many were paid for? Okay. Let's go to 1 John. Man, my eyes are so bad. 1 John 5:13. Boy, oh boy.
You put the light on, that'll help.
Won't you? You said 5:13.
Yeah, 5:13. 1 John 5:13. Yep. All right. So it says, these things, actually let me go to 5, yeah. Actually let me go to 5, 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of the God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not in God made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that not hath the Son hath not life. So 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, in 5:13 it says, does it say that ye may think you have eternal life?
No.
Does it say hope that you have eternal life? It says that you may know. God's not going to come. God's not going to do this to where he's going to make us play a guessing game. Right? Well, I might have you saved this day, I might have saved this day, and this is where we're going between gift, reward, grace versus works. He says that you know you have eternal life. Now, we have a lot of parents here, and I've conveyed this with my brother and my mom, but y'all have kids. Do you have the same relationship with each and every one of your kids? I know our mom didn't. So, that being said, now when we talk about a child of God, we are not all children of God. I hate to say it, but we're not. God loves us all. True. But to be born in the family of God, well, obviously you have to be reborn. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now, we could say, what do you mean believe? A lot of people say they believe in God. Well, the demons believe in God and they fear and tremble. What it's saying is, what do you believe about God? What did God do for you? John 3:16. Actually, we go John 3. There's like so many of them. All right, so let's go to John. Let's just go to John 3 right now. Yeah, we're going to go a little bit before John 3:16. Let's see. And this is perfect right here. Okay. Let's go to John 3:10. Now, this is when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. Okay. Jesus answered, said to him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, and this is because he asked Nicodemus, or told Nicodemus, he must be born again. You know, and obviously if you're born in of the flesh, well, you're not going to get another, you're not going to come out of your mother's womb a second time. So, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know and testify that we have seen, and yet we receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Now this one right here is very important because this is a kind of like a forbearance of Christ coming. Now there's nobody like him. There never will be. But this is just a foreshadowing. John 3:14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent," now I don't know if everybody knows, but Moses made a bronze serpent. It was a staff. And when he lifted it up, they told the Israelites, "Look on it and you will be healed." You will be healed, right? So, it says, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." John 3:15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now, here we go. These next three verses, I mean, they're all important, but these really should stick. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, that word perish, it's kind of a very formative word. The word perish means to be eternally separated from God, to escape the punishment, the wrath that is to come. And it will be coming. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And I'm going to read down to 21. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and the deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." So basically this is what it's coming down to for this message is this. We all have children. I don't have children. Y'all have children out there. Now, seeing how you don't have the same relationship with God or with your children. God does not have the same relationship with his children. This is where our works come to play. Your works have nothing to do with your salvation because God owes nobody salvation. I don't care how good you think you are. Turn to Isaiah 64:6. Isaiah 64:6. And this is the one, this is a very, very good verse because it shows us men like to try to, men try to think how, to show how great they are. Oh, look how good I am. Oh, God, look at me. Isaiah 64:6. Says, is everybody there?
Yep.
Okay. But we are all an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities in the wind. He has taken us away. Now, on our best day, God is saying, our righteousness is like filthy rags. That's as good as it gets for us. Now, we, you know, it's like when he says, if you, being evil, know how to take care of your children, how much more will your Father in heaven take care of you? This is what he's conveying. God's righteousness, man's righteousness, we're not righteous. None of us. Like I said, I don't deserve to be up here. I'm not worthy of this. However, I'm going to do my best to do it to, just to be able to get God's word out to people who don't know it, and I don't care who they are. Eternity's forever. Forever. I was talking to my mom this morning, you know, and she's going to be 68 years old. And I told her, I said, you know, it's kind of amazing how, you know, we look at time, because obviously time doesn't affect God. Time is how God judges mankind. I said, Mom, did it go by that fast? You know, she's like, yeah, well, look at eternity. Eternity, I, there's no end, there's no beginning. God's always been. So when we get out there, we want to give the gospel to people because I don't know if I'm going to see this person tomorrow, this person the next day. It is final once we leave this earth. You know, when we go to, let's see. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, yes. I think this is a really important part. Let's go to John 10:24.
Gospel.
Yes, Gospel of John 10:24. Actually, I want to start at 10:25. Everybody there? Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. As I said to you, all right, 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Now, this is kind of 27 through 29. Think of it as security, right? Just, you got to think of this. First, Jesus says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So let's just say you got Jesus. He's like, and I love using this from Tony Evans because he has so many great analogies. But he talks about, you just think of like Jesus is a safe, right? So you go in the safe, it's safe. Well, to even further that, it's like, well, God is a bank. We're going to put the safe inside the bank. Now, when God says, I got you, I got you. When he says he loves you, he loves you. It doesn't matter what you say or anybody else says. You could say, well, I did this, or I've done this. God knows what you've done, and no sin is too big for God. None. People, like I said, they like to go in this big sin, little sin. How many sins are able to be before God in heaven?
None.
So what if it's just a little white lie? Can I still go if it's a... No? Why is that? Because all sin is an offense to God. All sin. I don't care if it's a lie. I don't care if you beat somebody up. Whatever. God sees all sin the same. It cannot be... If we have a perfect God, He lives in the perfect heaven. Not one single sin should be able to get there because God is righteous. God is holy and He is not a liar. So when He says no sin enters into heaven, none. I don't care how big or how small it is. Let's see. Okay. Now, here's one that I know we've all, and this is conveying with grace and works. Go to James 2:10. James 2:10. Man, my eyes are so bad. Yeah. Where is it? James. Or I'm sorry, hold on. Actually, that goes into another point. happy accident. But James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all." So if you offended one point of the law, you're guilty, like breaking the whole thing. It's like when they were in the wilderness and they started making their golden calves and stuff like this. You know, God made these commandments, 10 commandments, law of Moses, right? And yet, the law of Moses does not save you. It doesn't. I know it's, and don't get me wrong, I think it's great. We should want to follow these things because they're good, holy, and pure. But what the law asks from us, it cannot provide itself. It's like, again, Daryl knows this. Mary, I'm sure you've heard this, but I look at it as the law is like a mirror, right? We go with a mirror. Adam, what does a mirror do when you look in it?
It shows you a reflection.
And it shows you what's wrong with you, right?
It exposes you. Yeah. Hey,
okay. Now, do you take the mirror and brush your beard? Do you take the mirror and brush your beard?
No.
Okay. The mirror only shows you what's wrong, but yet the mirror itself cannot fix you.
Correct.
It just conveys what you're seeing yourself. So that's why I say no man, or God owes no man salvation because we can't keep the law. Who kept the law? Perfect from beginning.
Jesus.
He did.
He kept it the whole time.
Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I think this might be one of my favorite parts of the whole Bible. I mean, it's all pretty darn good, but I love it because it tells us. Well, no, Gospel of John. And the reason I do this because I remember somebody asked me years ago in the book of Revelation, see, there's aliens, you know, because they talk about made man in our image. Right?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? All right. So John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, we're going to jump up to... Actually, no, I'm just going to keep reading all the way down to 14. And then I'm going to close it with that because I got more stuff to go on to next week that's just going to run over. All right. And so this, verse 6, this is talking about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might not, or that all through him might believe. Come on, Dan. Sheesh. I'm sorry. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which giveth light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Kind of sounds like back in the day when all the prophets were pretty much shunned and killed. Who were born not of blood, nor will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here we go, 14. This is the really important one, because I'll say it after this. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now it says the Word became flesh. Now we're going to go back to 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. He's always been. The Trinity has always been. It's like a pretzel. First hole's not the second hole. Second hole's not the third hole. Third hole's not the first hole. Three different holes. Same dough. It's called divine essence. God has always been one together. That's why when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross is because it was the first time they have ever been disconnected, separated. That's why it hurt so bad, because it was the first time the Trinity was ever separated. And that's why it goes to this. Every single person in this room, you were in God's mind when he was dying on the cross. He loved you that much. You were the affection, the apple of his eye when Christ was dying on the cross. All of you. He said, I don't deserve to be up here speaking, but I know I want to see people go to heaven. That's the most important thing, because eternity is forever. And I don't want to see any, he doesn't want to see anybody suffer. He doesn't want to see anybody eternally separated. That's for, you know, I don't even really think about the fire and brimstone. It's the eternal separation from God. It says he's the light and the life in us. Would you want to go away from that? No. Not me. So that's it for this week. I know it wasn't super long, but I made sure that on purpose it wasn't long. I hope you guys got something out of it, but it's just the biggest thing is knowing the gospel is simply this. Christ died, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of the sins. There is no other gospel in this world. You can't add on to it. You cannot take away from it. What Christ did on the cross, he did by himself. He did not have help. I wasn't up there dying on the cross. No, well, you had the two thieves. But I'm saying paying for the sins of the world. Nobody else was up there. He was doing it by himself. So guess what? When I get to heaven, all my praise, all my glory, ain't none going to be to me. Ain't going to be to nobody else. It's going to be to Christ and Christ alone. So if you could please, let's close our eyes and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me this time to be up here. I know my words are shaky, but still, they need to be said. Just be with everybody that's here today. Wherever we go, wherever, you know, whatever we're doing, just please get us there safely. Guide us through all these things going on in our lives. Lord, please let us get the gospel out to people. Let us not muddy the clear waters of the gospel, the crystal clear waters of Christ died, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by you, only by your death, burial, and resurrection, Lord. So thank you again for this time that we have together, Lord. We love you and praise you. Amen. Mary, you're going to have to help me. You already did.
Yep.
See, this is why I like you sometimes.
Sometimes.
You said 261?
Yep.
Okay. So I know if I kept going, we'd be here till probably 12:30. Okay. We're going to do two lines of trust and obey.
First and last?
Two lines.
Well, that's second and fifth. No. First and last. First and last.
First and last.
First and last, not second and fifth. Come on.
Okay.
Can
we start? Or did it...
You're okay, good job.
walk with the Lord.